This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
Joining us on the podcast this week, all the way from sunny Oklahoma, TM Francis.
Sunny and stormy and beautiful Oklahoma. Thanks, guys, for having me back on. I love your
always.
Show.
Always. So how much do you get to hang out with Jim Ross now that you're in Oklahoma?
You know, we live about, he lives in Norman, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
I'm about as far away from him as I am from the Tiger King Zoo. I got about an hour and a half in between each of those famous locations.
Right on, man.
Yeah, we're really out here in the middle of we're almost in like the panhandle in northwest Oklahoma, so we're quite a ways away from...
Is that you said northwest, is that like kind of still the Ozarks, or is that further past?
No, the Ozarks is more like western Missouri and like the eastern part, like where all the, and fortunately too, we're not in the super tornado-y part of Oklahoma, but yeah, we're a little further west. So we basically, it's basically like in Texas, except it's just unpopulated, you know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So the big question this week, TM Francis, is why do you hate Vince McMahon?
I hate Vince McMahon because he's ruined so many things, and he also, the older I get and the more I reflect upon him, the more it seems like he might actually be sort of an evil guy. And I don't know what the correlation is between this, but I know in 2001, he tried to launch the XFL and 9/11 happened. And this year he tried to launch the XFL and coronavirus. And I don't know how karma works, but I think that there's some kind of correlation in between those two things.
Damn.
Something about him starting the football league just unleashes some kind of evil on the world that nobody's prepared for.
Yeah, I can't disagree or argue with any of that because, I mean, I don't know, 9/11 happened the first season of the XFL, but this time, I had friends of mine that were like, oh no, it's going to be good this time, blah, 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 and I knew that it was going to fail. I didn't think it would be this quick, but now that he's fucking buying it, that there's rumors of him buying it back already. He's always doing some underhanded shit to get more money. That's like Vince McMahon's fucking MO.
Yeah, he's the ultimate, he's like the ultimate businessman, and that's why there were a couple things recently that actually made me think about how much I didn't like him, which was number one, a couple months ago during at the beginning stages of the pandemic, the WWE just like released a whole bunch of people, probably also having to do with the XFL debacle. But there was that when it's like everybody's going out of their way to try and figure out how you can pay your employees. This guy who's worth about as much money as you can be was just like letting people go. And then the other thing that aggravated me was last week when Dark Side of the Ring aired their the Owen Hart documentary.
Yeah.
McDivitt.
Yeah. Vince
fucking longtime attorney who, I mean, he's got to be one of the best lawyers in America, I would imagine, but he came out and he said that like Martha Hart was was Martha Owens' widow or is that his sister?
Martha's his widow.
Whoever his widow is, Jerry McDivitt came out and said that like, oh, she wasn't concerned with really finding out what happened to Owen and it wasn't about it was about her getting money and stuff like that. And just for him to come out with a statement like that, like 20 years in the rearview mirror, when the negligence of Vince McMahon's company is responsible for this guy's death. I was just like, wow. Yep. I was taken aback by like, just like making full of trying to defend himself or anyone in that matter.
I mean, he's done so many like just awful things. I mean, even on television, like what he said to John Cena when Booker T was standing there, or like, cause dude, like as funny as you might think that is, it's not okay. Like it's just not. And,
and that he does evil things in real life, but he also has also done like a lot of, if you could hold this against, I feel like he's ruined a lot of good things in wrestling, which I actually is less than the reality that we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, but still, I mean, like as lifelong fans though, I mean, you know, there's been points in my life where I've thought, you know, Vince McMahon was fucking God, at least of wrestling. But the more and more you learn about the dude, he's really just, he's a conniving fucking piece of shit. And he has ruined a lot of wrestling. But I mean, like another terrible fucking thing he did was after Benoit died, and somebody was interviewing him, and it was when he smacked the papers out of the dude's hand and shit. Like, he can't handle an interview.
Yeah, he did that to Bob Costas one time. He's gone off on interviewers a couple times. He was getting real shitty with people in the aftermath of Owen Hart's death as well, when reporters would ask him, like, well, do you feel like there's anything you could have done? And he'd be like, whoa, first of all, my company. And then,
Oh, yeah. He said they showed, like, a clip of it in the Dark Side of the Ring when somebody asked him. Like, go fuck yourself, dude.
Would it ever even occur to you to be that, audacious with someone, considering what they were asking him at the time? Like, a guy died, so for him to be like, whoa, I don't like where you're going with this. Like, I mean, that's like a sociopath in itself to begin with, to even have that reaction, you know?
Well, dude. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it just goes to show like that you can tell that him and Donald Trump are legitimate friends, because Donald Trump does the exact same shit when he is posed the question that he doesn't want to answer or doesn't have the answer to.
Well, he deflects. That's the thing about Vince too, is he and Trump are very similar in the sense that like Vince McMahon got the reason WWE rather is the most popular is because Vince McMahon was the most cutthroat businessman in the wrestling industry, and he drove everyone out in the 80s when they kind of weren't expecting anybody like him to come along. But he didn't rise because his product was superior. He rose because he was the most cutthroat businessman. And before Ted Turner owned WCW, he fucked over all their pay-per-views in the late 80s. So I don't know if people know that, which I don't understand how the federal government never came after Vince McMahon for this, when he literally in the late 80s, he went to the pay-per-view companies. This is before Turner owned WCW. And he said, if you put their pay-per-views on the air, you're not going to get WrestleMania.
Yeah. And
there was like a Starcade or whatever, one of the pay-per-views that WCW ended up making no money on, because they
ended up putting it out for free, didn't they?
Yeah. So, like, for him, like, I don't know how he was never gone after. If that's not, like, a violation of fair business practice, like, I don't know what is. But they never went after him because it was the wrestling industry. They tried to bust him later for steroids. But Vince McMahon, like, all those monopoly laws – that probably the federal government would never want to apply, because then they would have to admit that wrestling is like a legitimate product. He could have been prosecuted for breaking a lot of those things in the 80s. I mean, he was just going nuts, just trying to put everybody else out of business so that way more kids would watch Hulk Hogan instead of Ric Flair, I guess.
Just to touch real quickly again on, like you said, like the shady business practices or whatever. I just recently heard a story. I don't remember who told it. I want to say it might have been Greg Gagne, so you can kind of take it with a a grain of salt sometimes, but this sounds exactly like something he would do. But so the AWA was like kind of the last other powerhouse, like aside from like Jim Crockett, WCW, but the last like territory that still had some prominence was AWA. And they had gotten on pay-per-view. They actually got on pay-per-view or closed circuit television before Vince did. They were the first. AWA was the first one to do it. And Vince basically went to them like as a friend and was like asking them, oh, like, so how did you go about this and how did you do it? And then fucking turned around, signed a bunch of their fucking talent, and then took all the, you know, tips they gave them because they thought they were just talking to, you know, just another business guy who was their friend. And he was just actually going to fuck them.
Yeah, I've heard that before back in the more the congenial days amongst wrestling territories before Vince started, you know, before Vince got into his I'm going to invade Poland mindset. They really, I remember hearing that story too. He kind of picked the brain of the Ganyas of how to do like closed circuit television. And then like 6 months later, it's like, well, Gene Okerlund and Hulk Hogan and Bobby Heenan, they all work for me now. So go fuck yourself.
Right.
But he was just ruthless like that. But then in addition to all the business stuff, and then there's also like real evil things he did. Like, I don't know how you keep the show going after Owen Hart dies, or even like with all the, like in the late 80s, when so many people in his company were accused of sexual harassment and, you know, all the shady shit that Pat Patterson has in his history and all that. Well, really bad.
I heard through the grapevine that Jeremy was one of the ring boys.
Look, yeah, but all it was Mel wanted me to come on his feetsies. He said, come on my feetsies, little boy. And I was like, I can't come, Mel. I can't come. What do I do, Mel?
And he was like, Jeremy, I'm going to go banana.
So, yeah, that it wasn't Pat Patterson that that tried to get me into his dressing room. It was Mel.
Mel was the other. Isn't he the only guy who ever got like fired over that or disciplined?
Yeah, he got. They were like, oh yeah, this guy's into the kids. But Pat Patterson was apparently just a handsy, genial old queer.
I have heard. I've heard more stories about Pat Patterson than I've heard about like Louis C.K. or anyone like that. I mean, like the Pat Patterson stories are bad.
The thing is, though, is like none of that shit has ever been proved to be true. I mean, granted, a lot. I mean, the way Roddy Piper never went into details. But if you ever watch Roddy Piper's shoot interview that he did with Kayfabe Commentaries, and that shit gets brought up. Roddy Piper is very ambiguous about it, but he's like, he basically is like, he's like kind of staring off in the distance, and he's like, wrestling's a hard business sometimes, and and basically what he was saying though, he's like, you know, when I started hearing things or whatever, you know, I was a new dad at that point. So I had that dad, that new outlook on life. And he's like, you know, and he just kind of trails off. And like, so it's like Roddy Piper like has had the reputation of being an honest dude, like saying it how it was and not thinking twice about it. So, it's like hard for me to be like, yeah, I'm a fan of Pat Patterson, because like in a sense I am. He's like one of the greatest minds in the business, but like really, does everybody who's like talented gotta be a scumbag, or like half of them? Does it just come with the territory?
I can just see Pat Patterson, Roddy Piper right now. Hey Roddy, I wanna see your dark pink hole. Ah no, you can't have me butthole. Rah!
You can't have me, butthole.
So Roddy Piper's a pirate?
Yeah. I don't know. I thought it sounded better in my head.
I know, I like it. Roddy Pirate.
Oh, Rowdy Piper. I came here to fight. I don't know what you came here to do.
You do not throw rocks at a man who's got a machine gun.
Greatest. Well, Pass, I know that's why you want to see that they call me the Hot Rod.
But also, not to mention all the like the actual evil shit that Vince McMahon has done, there are just some things he's done in wrestling that are just like, oh my god, like what, like, and the only reason we've established it's because of he was the most ruthless businessman, but he also has a very childlike sense. Like, look at all the shit that we've seen on like WWF television over the years.
Legit shit.
Vince McMahon, like Mae Young giving birth to a hand, like anything that's like really stupid. You're like, oh yeah, you picture Vince McMahon as like a giant. I mean, he's basically
sticking
a giant.
His hand up,
old, like laughing.
His hand up JR's ass.
Yeah, yeah. Why would you do that? Wasn't that in? Speaking of Jim Ross, that was in his hometown, wasn't it? That they.
Yeah, like, and on top of that, it was when Jim Ross legitimately just had like surgery done, like. On his colon or intestines. So like Vince and Bruce thought it would be funny to do that. And it like really affected JR's kids and wife. Like that, you know, JR, he's got thick fucking skin, man. He's put up with a lot. And he said that and the Ed Ferrara, Oklahoma thing. He said those were the two things that really, really bothered him in his career.
Yeah, Ed Ferrara, Oklahoma was that was a pretty messed up. Because I would have thought I was like I remember when that happened. It was like, weren't you guys friends with him? Like, why would you do that? Like, I didn't see there was like no point to that even.
Yeah,
and Vince McMahon. I mean, I stopped watching right after the invasion thing because I had already like whatever year I discovered ECW that had become my so it was like 95 or whatever, and WWF pulled all their. They pulled Superstars off of syndicated TV, so I couldn't even watch it anymore. So yeah. I was okay with, like, not being a WWF fan, but then all of a sudden, like, 2000 comes along, and WCW's terrible, and ECW was bad that year, too, and then they both go out of business, and all of a sudden, he fucking owns everything. And the only saving grace was, like, okay, well, they're going to do this invasion thing, so this should be, like, the cool thing we've all been waiting for our entire lives, right?
But they didn't have the names.
They didn't, but they could have, like, they always say, too expensive. We couldn't get Hogan and, like, and Ric Flair and Sting and Goldberg. We couldn't get guys because it was, they didn't want to pay him or whatever.
Well, but, no, what it was is like, so they, all these people, like, basically every talent except for Macho Man Randy Savage were all paid by Turner. Like Turner proper. So for the guys like Hogan, Goldberg, like the Sting, the big names, Nash, Hall, like they could have gone to work for WWE, but it would have been a considerably less amount of money to whereas they could ride it out and get paid their full Turner contract.
Yeah.
So WWE didn't have to buy out the contracts. They had the option to buy the contracts.
They could have.
Yes.
And I know that would have been like, because they didn't need to get everybody. Like, fuck, like Scott Steiner and Jeff Jarrett, like people like that. But if they would have just brought in like Hogan, Hall, Nash, Flair, which they brought in Flair the day after it ended, anyways. Yeah. Like, if they. Gotten like four or five of those guys, like, and then maybe like Sting and Goldberg and Bischoff, who wasn't even under contract anyways. If they would have gotten those guys, that stupid invasion pay-per-view is the highest bought. It has the most buy rates of any pay-per-view that's not a WrestleMania. It was like 7,000 buys or something crazy like that. So if they would have, and the two top WCW, it was like Booker T, Diamond Dallas Page and Rhino and the Dudleys were like the main event WCW ECW team. If they could have gotten like some legit, you know, the other bigger name guys, that pay-per-view could have done like a million buys like a WrestleMania. And then that already would have paid for the additional, you know, the additional big name talent that they brought in. They would have been stuck paying them after that to whatever contract they would have had to have agreed to get them to come in. But in the long run, that would have made that like angle so that it wasn't the most disappointing thing that ever happened.
Bischoff was approached about like leading the invasion, and he turned it down because he's like, he knew it was not going to work because they didn't have the people they needed to make it work.
Exactly. He would have said yes if they would have had Hogan there, though.
Sure.
And so that was just in addition to the actual measurable evil that Vince McMahon has done in the world. I know it's hard to look at all the success that he's had and say that, like, oh, it's been bad for pro wrestling as an industry, but I think it has. Like, I mean, it's not there's a lot of not good out there, and it mostly comes back to him and his horrible, he just has a horrible sense of humor, and he interjects it into everything he does, you know what I mean? Like, there's no good, and even when they relaunched ECW, I watched that for like 2 weeks and it was like, all right, this is okay, and then it slowly just turned into like a shitty, you know,
I am one of the biggest fucking ECW marks in the world. And so, like, when One Night Stand happened, I was so stoked because it was an amazing show.
That was great. But then
there's the fact that they're like, okay, so we're going to bring back ECW, which Vince did just to fucking do what he did with it. I watched the first match, and I was like, that was on TV with the fucking mummy or whatever. And I was like, nope, fuck this. I was like, this ain't ECW. So.
And in addition to stuff like that, like, Vince McMahon could say all he wants that early deaths in wrestling, oh, well, it's not our fault. And the fact that they're all the people that work for him, they work for him, what, 200 and some days a year, and they're still somehow considered independent contractors, that is tremendous bullshit. But aside from that, he acts like that the circumstances he created somehow are not connected to all the deaths in that industry, which is absurd when you put people on the okay, you're an independent contractor, but you have to work for me 260 days a year. You don't have health care. You don't have a union. Like, what other large scale?
I'm not paying for your food or travel.
Yeah. Every professional sporting league has a union. Fucking actors have a union. It's like wrestlers and comedians. Those are the only two that don't have a union. But wrestlers actually kind of need it. I mean, they are a sport, and the way you can't put someone on the road and like getting in like that and working more than one spot a day, like for 300 days a year, and then all of a sudden, and you also tell them shit like, it'd be better if you were. I was just watching Beyond the Mat the other day for the first time in a long time. And that one guy with Mike Modis at the beginning, I think his name is Tony Jones. He's a big dude.
Yeah.
He clearly worked out, was, you know, looked like a professional athlete. And I remember Jim Ross telling him, like, well, we need to maybe build a little more on your chest and your upper body. And it's like, that dude is like 6'4", 220. I think he's already working out and eating all the protein he's going to eat. When you tell him something like that, what exactly do you think he's going to have to do to make his already gigantic frame bigger? You know what I mean? They could say they did steroid use, but they kind of did. And then the painkillers that you need just to bounce back off that. I mean, if they would have somehow gotten a, like, let's say Jesse Ventura succeeded in the 80s.
That's what I was going to ask you guys, is who was it that tried to unionize that? Wasn't it Hogan who sold him down the river?
Yeah, Jesse Ventura tried it. And then later, Jesse Ventura said he actually found out in the deposition for when he was suing Vince McMahon for videotape royalties. He said he found out in that deposition that Hogan was the one who told him about that, because his lawyer was asking Vince about like the history of their relationship or whatever. And Vince is under oath, so he's not supposed to lie. But Vince was the one like, oh, well, Hulk Hogan told me about that. And Jesse was like, oh, fuck, I didn't know that. Like, he didn't find that out until a couple years later.
You mean he said, I didn't know that. I didn't know it was Hulk Hogan who turned his back on me and the rest of the boys. So I ran for governor of Minnesota, and I won.
And if that man would have succeeded, and by the way, I wish so much that Jesse would have ran for president this year, because I think he would take some votes away from, like, if Jesse would have ran this year, I think he would have taken away votes from Trump the way fucking Perot did in 92. The way Perot took votes away from 92.
That would have been Nader in 2004.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's happened before where, like, a crazy third party guy gains some momentum and they ultimately end up taking votes away from someone. So I'm shocked that Jesse didn't go through with it. But if he would have succeeded in the 80s and they would have been able to unionize, there would have had to have been a lot less deaths, because those guys they would have come to some agreement where they would have been spending less days on the road. They would have had insurance. They would have, it just would have been a whole different, I mean, they're still to this day just at the mercy of this one dude who, like, runs an entire industry. And it's kind of fucked up that they've never really, I mean, they tried the steroids thing, which was, that was a tenuous case at best. Didn't have in the way that they thought that they had him. You know what I mean? He wasn't actually distributing steroids. They proved that. That's what they tried to get him for, which was stupid.
Yeah. I would have liked to have seen a videotape of Vince McMahon, like, actually distributing the steroids. Like, come on, pal. I'm going to shoot this in your butt. Next, pal. Come on. Get this juice in your butt.
Get this Ico Pro and shove it in your ass.
Ico Pro, you've got to want it. Oh yeah, and also all the other things that he's.
Well, wait. Let me interject here. Sheer, do you notice we and both of you, we've said all this shit, the terrible shit that Vince McMahon has done, or that he's been involved around. We haven't even mentioned the sexual harassment allegation against himself.
Against him specifically. All those horrible things all came out in the
I can smell your snitch, pal.
Yeah, what was the name of the there was an assistant he used to have.
Yeah, I'll look it up.
That ended up suing him. There was things that came out in the steroid trial where Linda McMahon is sitting there just like bawling in open court because they're bringing up this parade of whores that Vince McMahon has.
I mean, but honestly though, like, that's a loveless marriage. That marriage is strictly for business purposes, and probably has been for 30 years.
Yeah, they've got.
Come on into bed, pal. We gotta make another kid.
When you said pal, I thought you were like referring to the rumors that Bret Hart started about HBK and Vince, which is so I just recently watched. Have either of you seen the Shawn Michaels shoot interview from 2000?
No,
he did an interview in 2000.
Yeah, he did a shoot interview in 2000. I'll send you the link for it. The full thing's on YouTube right now. But he was talking about how. He was talking about, like, the angle leading up to Montreal, like, when, like, Sean said sunny days and, like, Brett, was calling him gay and shit for being in Playgirl. And there's that scene in Wrestling with Shadows that Sean brings up, which I'll get there. Yeah, so Sean brings up the scene where Brett's in the limo and he's like, you know, they want me to say all this homophobic stuff about Sean, and I just don't feel comfortable doing it. And Sean in the shoot interview goes, he didn't have a problem saying that because he said it all the time. He was like, he didn't have a problem calling me a faggot because he called me a faggot all the time. He was like, and that's like with both those guys, you can trust Brett. Brett's stories never really change over the years, which gives him a little more credibility. But like, as much of a piece of shit as Shawn Michaels was, I don't think that he's the evil force that he is painted out to be by a lot of people.
What's that, Shawn? You want me to do what? Well, blow on my asshole, pal. Blow, blow, blow. Yeah, that's the stuff. That's good shit.
Come here, heart butt kid. But, you know, so I mean, just like, I you know, with especially Sean in like 2000, like amidst, he was probably jacked the fuck up on painkillers and fucking muscle relaxers in that interview. But like, there's, you know, there's validity to what you're breaking up. What'd you say?
Oh, no, just I want, because that seems like such a perfect time for Shawn Michaels to do a shoot interview, because it was after he retired, but he was still fucked up and hadn't found
it yet. Cher, have you seen it before?
I have not.
Okay, so like I said, like you were saying, TM, like it's 2000, he's still fucked up on drugs. So it's like, you know, he even says, because it's one of the Rob Feinstein interviews. And it's really shittily done with just like a digital camera in this dingy hotel room in fucking San Antonio. And I was thinking to myself the whole time, I was like, I wonder in 2000 how much they paid Shawn Michaels to do a shoot interview. Because you got to think, he was only 2 years out of the business and like he had still made appearances here and there. Like, does Shawn Michaels get out of bed for less than 10 grand to go do a 2-hour shoot interview? You know what I mean?
Especially too, because he was on the WWF. He was on their payroll the entire time after he retired. Like he was still, and they helped him with that little like he had his wrestling
TWA
stuff. Yeah, so he was still getting paid by them. Was it like a? Did he say anything bad about WWE during the?
No, and that's what I was saying is like so. It was towards the beginning of the interview, like, no, so he doesn't bash WWE at all. Like, it's a very poorly concocted, that's not the right word I'm looking for, but whatever, conducted interview. But it's still an interesting watch because you never really, until more recent years, you've never really got to see, like, you know, Sean do something like that. He's never, so like, I'm sure that he got the okay from Vince, you know, and I'm sure Vince just reiterated, hey, make sure you tell them you knew nothing about the Montreal screw job, which he denies and everything, which he obviously admits later on in his life. Later. But the thing is though, is early in the interview, he says, he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I would get on the phone. Oh, he was talking about when he was injured one time. I want to say, like, maybe 96, 97, something around there. So, like, kind of like the height of his popularity in the first part of his career. And he said that he would blatantly get on the phone with dirt cheat guys and just feed them bullshit so that it would circulate. And he goes, because it keeps your name in the news. So, like, if I'm interviewing somebody and they tell me something like that, and let's just say that they did pay him $10,000 to come shoot this interview, like, a guy is openly admitting to you that he lies to people like you, but you just paid him X amount of dollars to drive down the fucking road to meet you at a Motel 6.
Yeah, that's kind of, that would be like a hooker pointing out that, like, you know, I fuck guys like you all the time. But
yeah, they don't tell me that. Hookers don't fuck guys like me all the time. Not for my prices. I haggle them down.
As well you should. That's why you should get one of those punch cards that you get like a fifth visit free.
I should, except Vince, I'm actually just punching her.
Well, all right, so I pulled up Vince McMahon's from sexual assault to feeding wrestlers steroids, all the outrageous things that the WWE CEO has been accused of. And so apparently in 2006, he sexually harassed some woman in a tanning booth.
2006, he was not a spring chicken, so maybe his balls just fell out of the tanning booth. Oh, sorry, pal. Can you pick that up off the floor, pal?
Did my balls drop again?
Could you imagine Vince McMahon in like a little Speedo going into a tanning bed and then his 65-year-old sack just falls out and falls all the way to the floor?
Did you guys see those pictures of him a couple years ago when he fucking crashed his Lamborghini in like downtown fucking Connecticut or whatever, downtown Greenwich? Yeah. Because apparently he drives like a fucking bat out of hell.
That's what everyone says, yeah.
I love hearing Pritchard and fucking Jim Ross and Cornette tell stories about being on the road with Vince. But so I'm looking at this thing that there was that 2006 one. That was, she was unnamed. And the other thing I was going to say is, you want to know how Vince McMahon, you know he's fucking guilty? Every allegation that comes against him always settles out of court for an undisclosed amount of money.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
That's how you know he's guilty.
That is the typical hook for someone guilty and has enough money to just kind of buy their way out of trouble. I didn't recall hearing about him harassing anybody in 2006. Yeah, so he's still up and at it, even at his advanced age.
Well, you know, you listen to Cornette every week, right, Shear?
Not every week.
Okay. So did you hear? So when they did like a 25th anniversary thing for Triple H, like maybe a month or so ago. And it was just basically like Shawn roasting him in the ring. And then I guess Vince came out. I didn't even watch it, but I was listening to Cornette's review of the show or whatever, just talking about it. And he said, he was like, you know, that was the first time in my life in, you know, the 40 some years I've known Vince McMahon or 30 some years I've known Vince McMahon, that he looked human. He looked like he was aging finally. And, like, dude, he does. Like, he
does, yeah. He looks, his face looks a little gaunt nowadays. It was actually, it was the same thing about Fred Willard, who just died, like, last week. The last thing I saw him do was an episode of Modern Family from, like, this season recently. And I, like, looking at him, it was just like, oh, shit. Like, he looks like he finally started to look old.
That's.
And, he's looked old, but, like, in a healthy way. Vince has the same thing now, where all of a sudden his face is very gaunt, and he's just he might be on his way out. I don't know.
I saw George Carlin in Cleveland about 3 months before he died, and we had pretty good seats, and like I could tell just by like the look in his eyes, I was like, he does not have much time left. Like, you could just kind of tell that he was starting to go.
Hey, wow. Listen to that, man. You could fuck my flaps.
Do you think Vince McMahon has any kind of, do you think human growth hormone can him not die at this point? I mean, is he still lifting every day the way? I mean, he was on the cover of Muscle and Fitness like within the last decade. Is he still doing that on a daily basis? Well,
he used to post videos of him working out all the time, like within the last 3-4 years. And I mean, granted, I don't really follow him, but like I don't ever see that shit circulating anymore. So I don't know. I don't know, man. Like it's weird. It's weird to like, you know, we've all been bitching about Vince McMahon for years, and like now it's getting to the point where it's like he's not gonna give up power. He's never gonna give up control. So he'll die in the chair. But it's just like now it's just a matter of time of like, you know, when. And like I know people would say that that's probably crass to say that about him, but like. We've gone already over a laundry list of fucking terrible things the dude has done. So when he kicks the bucket, I have a little bit of respect for the guy, but at the end of the day, I won't care when he's dead.
He's not a good man. It doesn't seem like just in an overall sense of the word. And the dark side of the ring last week, the Owen Hart. Did you guys both see the one? It was, even at the time, when you were like, because you try to defend wrestling and they'd be like, why didn't they stop the show? That was always one of those like, I don't know. And yeah. With time, it seems to get even worse of like, why did they, you know, especially with how fucked up that is. I mean, there was a splatter of his blood in the entire time. I remember those guys all had to like go out and look at, and it's just, I mean, and they knew he was dead before they even really announced it. And they announced it within an hour after the incident happened. So I don't know how the fuck, like what, like, what positive is there to not go other than the fact that you wouldn't have had to have given out refunds to, you know.
And dude, but honestly, like, at a time like that, when a member of a family who has given not only so much to the business, but to Vince McMahon's business, who were super loyal to him, and, yeah, he would have had to issue refunds.
And especially,
Jesus fucking Christ, man, a guy died in the fucking ring on your watch. And you are going to keep doing the show? The fuck is wrong with you?
And also, due to the negligence of his company, which he later, that was one of the more amazing things in that, in the Dark Side of the Ring, is like, I don't remember this happening where people asking Vince McMahon about, like, is there anything we could have done to prevent this? Is there any, you know, were there safety measures that, and he's just like, I don't like your tone. It's like, dude, you just let a guy fall from the ceiling of an arena and die. You didn't stop the show or act in any way that most human beings would have acted in the aftermath of something like that. And then you're sitting there like getting uppity with a reporter because they asked you a question that rubbed you the wrong way about a guy whose death you're responsible for. Like, there's like a disconnect with his ego where it's like, no matter what happens, like he defends. Like, I feel like he could have like run over kids in a car on accident and would have been like, well, let me tell you something. And like, you know, like he's always, it's like no matter what he does, it's never wrong. It's always,
well, I mean, like you like
at it from my point of view.
Well, like we were talking about with the Owen thing, like, I don't know, Sheer, if you've like heard the story about when I think it was after Shawn and Taker's second match, so the one that Shawn retired, Undertaker, once he got back to the back, it was either that one or against Triple H, and he collapsed like before getting in back into gorilla position, and Vince went to the hospital with the Undertaker, and it just, when I heard that story and then found out like the other night more about the Owen Hart shit, it's like Vince didn't, if you're not one of, you know, his, you know, if it's not Undertaker, if it's not HBK, and it's not Austin or The Rock, he doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
You are as valuable to him as whatever kind of buy rate he could sort of squeeze out of you on a pay-per-view. Sure. Which, sure, by the way, they could have done better with Owen Hart if he wasn't the goofy-ass Blue Blazer at that point. And one of the interesting things they brought up at the end of that Wrestling with not Wrestling with Shadows, the Dark thing, which I didn't think about, was like, think about all the dudes that came in within like the 2 years after Owen died. Like right after Owen died, then all of a sudden they had Chris Jericho and Benoit and Malenko and Eddie Guerrero and like all those guys that Owen was like on like equivalent to,
yeah,
in great and just like being one of the best in the ring at the time. I mean, how great would that have been if he was still around? Yeah. Like Guerrero and Benoit and Jericho and those guys got there, he may have ended up being a world champion in that. I mean, if Guerrero and Benoit did, which I know the company didn't particularly, it wasn't like they were putting their full they put their full force behind him for a little bit, but I think Owen would have been in that spot before either one of them would have been if he were still there and still working and everything.
Yeah, he would have. Absolutely. They wouldn't have had a choice. So he'd be the one guy that could go ham with all of them.
Yeah, and Owen Hart would have been a much better initial feud for Chris Jericho than like Ken Shamrock per se. nothing against Ken Shamrock. He seems like a decent human being, if not a mildly head affected. But
he took the Joey Ryan dick flip.
Yeah, how do you feel about the dick flip?
The dick flip? I've seen it. I've never watched like a show that had it on it, but I'm not a fan. I kind of align more with Jim Cornette in traditional, like it just seems goofy to me, which is another thing that Vince McMahon introduced into wrestling was like, I know everybody loves The Undertaker, but like a lot of that shit was so like even when I was a kid, do you remember the Royal Rumble where The Undertaker like ascended to heaven in the, yeah. in the arena? Like that, like stupid shit like that got introduced because of Vince McMahon, because for whatever reason he thought that was a good idea. But no, I'm not a proponent of the dick flip, as I'm not a proponent of The Undertaker floating out of a casket or hitting things with lightning or like Kane lighting people on fire or any of that shit. It just doesn't. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know who can do it and gets away with it? Is fucking Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy can get away with it.
Well, I haven't, I know he's gone because I've seen like all the things that he's done in the last couple of years, got a lot of like internet attention. Yeah. But I don't, because he ended, were they letting him do that shit when he was in the WWE on his most recent run this past time? Yeah.
But the thing was, is there was a big legal battle over it with Impact, because they tried to claim that because it was on their television show, it was their intellectual property, but he was doing all this promotion on his own YouTube channel and adding to the storylines without them. So it's like he ended up winning, and like, cause he wanted to do it in WWE. And I guess Vince or, you know, Matt Hardy was told, and I assume it would come from Vince, that WWE would let him use it if he got the rights, but they would not help him acquire the rights. Like, they weren't going to pay for it, which actually works out in Matt Hardy's favor, because now that he's in AEW and he owns the intellectual property of his own character, he fucking does whatever he wants. It actually worked out well for him.
Who even owns Impact? Is that's still a thing, right?
Does Scott D'Amore own it, or does he just run it?
I have no idea. I don't care.
I was gonna say, do they still have a television show?
They're actually doing like they. Go ahead, Shear, please.
They have a lady world champion.
It's Tully Blanchard's daughter.
Oh, Tessa Blanchard?
Yep.
Yeah.
Didn't she beat – who did she beat for it?
Like
Sami Callihan. Yeah, she beat Sami Callihan for it.
Oh, she's like their world champion.
Yeah.
Oh.
Dude, she's so fucking good. She is amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, Vince McMahon made China Intercontinental Champion one time, so.
Yeah, she couldn't work shit either. But at least she was big.
So.
Like a normal, not that I'm trying to say anything bad about China, but she was a large lady. Tessa Blanchard's like a normal sized female, right?
She's fucking, she's ripped. Watch some of her matches. She's great. But
does she just like wrestle dudes across the across the line now? Like there's no.
No, she wrestles anybody. Like she wrestles anybody. But it's Anthem Sports and Entertainment is the majority owner of Impact, 95%, and apparently Dixie Carter still owns 5% of it.
Well, all right, but Vince McMahon not as good of a person as Dixie Carter. So,
I mean, we don't know that for sure. I don't know what Dixie Carter does behind closed doors, but she would have to have a pretty impressive resume to compete with just the evil that Vince McMahon has unleashed into the world. Not to mention the World Bodybuilding Federation. I mean, good God.
Look, that introduced the world to the Iron Warrior Mike Christensen.
Okay. How about this one? How about this one we didn't even touch on? Vince McMahon is the guy who legitimately pitched an incest angle for him and his daughter. And Stephanie was like, absolutely not. Like, that's the kind of warped, fucked up. Like, dude, he's probably never seen a shrink before. And it's way too late for him to start. But therapy might have helped that guy.
Hey, pal, I'm going to bang my daughter, pal.
It's entertainment.
Don't you watch the internet porn? This is what all the kids love.
That was always his excuse for everything. It's entertainment, pal. We with like that thing he says in Beyond the Mac. We make movies. Yeah, it's like
we make movies. And then what did RJ say? He's chewing the water.
Yeah, and you could even see in Oh, by the way, it's been depressing to, if you guys have been watching Dark Side of the Ring, you see when they interview Draws, and it's just like, geez, that's...
He was on last season, too, I think, for an episode or something, and it's just... You it's know so they're going to do an episode on him. Yeah, it sucks, man. He...
Because just
he
to
doesn't
see,
seem
like,
bitter about it.
No, he doesn't, which, I mean, then God bless him for that, but he, it's
I'm
just...
I'm off myself already.
I have that same thought when I see it. It's really sad to see, especially because then they show, all the footage of him back in his prime when he was, you know, moving around and just this unbelievably gifted athlete, played in the NFL and everything. And
yep.
Have some shitty like that happen to him. Although I guess you could put that as a check in the good column mark for Vince McMahon, because there are some guys that he's taken care of.
Yes.
For one or another. Draws appears to be one of them, which, I mean, my God, how can you not? But
Draws, Scott Hall, Jake the Snake. I mean, like, a lot of people Vince has put out money and care for, but yeah. he's also he's fired people via FedEx.
He's also a reason he's also a contributing factor to why any of those guys would be fucked up to begin with. But because exactly. Whose decision was it to allow Jake the Snake to get hit in the head with a legit guitar, which crushed his vertebrae and then ended up leading to his painkiller problem, which led to everything else? That I mean, he was a mess for like 2 decades.
Yeah, he was.
Because of injuries he got in the WWF, or well, if you believe his accounting of it, that's what it all started with. But
I believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like he's done legitimately and measurably more bad than good.
Yeah,
and especially
well, it's almost like. I think the way it could be summed up is that the bad outweighs the good, and the only good he does, I feel, is only, or at least 95% of the good he does is self-serving and to portray portray him in a different light. I don't think it's genuine, the good shit he does, or at least 95% of it I don't believe is, like, well-intentioned.
And he will also never, ever, I don't think he's ever taken responsibility for, like, anything he's ever done. Because even if you look at, even in the aftermath of the Owen Hart thing, for someone to be, like, that indignant in the aftermath of when your company was responsible for something like that, it's, I don't know if it's, like, sociopathic. It's so fucked up to never be able to, like, look and say, like, oh, my God, like, things went wrong. Things went terrible. We have to figure out what's going on. You know, he was always
made a mistake.
Yes, exactly. He's on the defensive. No matter what, no matter how badly he fucked up, he's willing to defend his actions, which sounds suspiciously like a friend of his who is running our country right now. Like, they have the exact same mentality.
Yeah. When it comes,
you know, talking about past errors. They don't think they've made any, like, ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's always, whatever they do is always different.
Like, you keep saying sociopathic, and that's exactly what it is. It's they've convinced themselves what they say is true. So there's it's hard to catch them in what they would think is a lie, because yeah. That line is very blurred for them.
Yeah, no, I like how you phrase that, and it's hard to catch them in what they would think as a lie, because they do it freely, but it doesn't, it's like, no, that's not, what are you talking about? They're like, there's always a, they always have their own best interests in mind, which, yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of people do, but to the extent of just being so, being so flamboyant about it as to get angry at reporters for asking you about one of your employees that died that was due to your negligence. It's just, it's the level of like narcissism there is, it's insane to me.
Yep.
So where can we find you on the internet?
On the internet, on Twitter, I'm at Toms of Fun now on Twitter.
Toms of Fun.
Except Tom's a fun. I think that's a catchy handle.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, that's about it. I don't, I'm not on Facebook or anything like that. I'm just sitting here trying to wait out this horrifying. When's the last time either one of you guys were, my last gig was March 7th.
I think the last thing I did was probably in February.
Jeez.
Yeah.
I haven't done anything in a long time. I mostly just stick to the podcast and my wrestling zine now.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. My last thing was the 6th of March.
Oh, my last thing was March 7th. So we're, yeah, the shit hit the fan right about the same time for everyone, it seems like.
Yeah. Speaking of which, Jordan?
Yes.
You were saying?
Oh, no. I just, I have shit written. I just, you know, haven't gone on stage and worked anything out, but I just mainly focus on like my podcast and the other projects. Like, I have a new podcast that's going to be debuting probably in June, which, yeah, I definitely want to get you on. It's just going to be like basically you and me shooting the shit and just making an interesting conversation. But more on that later. And then my wrestling zine, like that takes up most of like my creative time. So I don't really get out and to go do shows much anymore unless we do a live podcast.
Which we will be doing more of. We're getting booked for them now. So as soon as the world stops going crazy, we'll be doing that.
As soon as the world stops ending.
Just waiting for things to open back up. It's, it's a little frustrating. Stuck in the state of Oklahoma for like 3 months now. Thank God they've got this
here, because otherwise sassafras.
Yeah. So Jordan, I don't think we're gonna find anybody that hates Vince McMahon as much as TM Francis.
You should get have Dan Brown on to give the opposing view of why he loves Vince McMahon.
No, there is another. I won't apologize again. I'm a rapid avenger. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.